Well, if you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to John chapter 10, our passage for this morning. I wonder what you think of leaders, what your experience has been of being led by others, perhaps at school or in the workplace, in the home or on the sporting field or even at church. Most of us have stages in our lives when we want some leader to attach ourselves to say, I'm with him or her, a leader to look up to emulate and ultimately to follow. It might be a movie star or a musician, an academic or a sports person, or someone who's just that bit older than you are that you look up to. I remember as a teenager particularly looking up to one of my cousins who was a few years older than I was. He could surf, I couldn't. He had his own car, I didn't. His parents had converted their garage into his bedroom, mine hadn't. For a while there, he was just it for me. And I did all I could to emulate him, to copy him, to follow him. Get this, I even tried to walk the way he walked, literally, until I saw myself on a home video that someone had taken and realised that just looks ridiculous. And so I stopped. But for many of us, that's what we're like. We actually want to fall into line behind someone. We're looking for someone to blaze the trail for us so we know which way we should go. We want someone to show us how we're supposed to talk and act and behave and live life. For many of us, we want someone to follow. For others of us, though, we've had enough of leaders being let down too many times, too many bad experiences. We don't want some authoritarian screaming down their megaphone at us any longer. We're sick and tired of being get for them, like those shepherds in Ezekiel that we read at the beginning of our time this morning, and just give from us. Having a leader, maybe for you, it's no thanks. Well, this morning, before our eyes, we see Jesus presenting himself as the kind of leader that he is. From his own lips, we hear Jesus speaking of himself as the leader, standing in contrast to others who might present themselves before us and vie for our attention and affection, our following. Jesus, he says, here am I, look at me, look to me. And by the end of our time, my hope is that we'll see that here in Jesus is the leader many of us have been looking for and longing for. And for others, those of us who've had enough of this whole leader thing, will see that here in Jesus is the leader we actually need to have. We need to fall into line behind this leader. And that here in Jesus is someone that we'll want to fall into line behind. Someone, as we've just sung, for whom it is our joy to live. I'm going to stop and pray now because we're about to look at the Bible, God's Word, together. And that's something we all need God's help for, myself included. So let's ask him for his help. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you this morning for John's gospel and for the way in which John brings us face to face with Jesus. We get to see him and hear him for ourselves. Please help me to speak clearly and to speak in a way that lines up with your word rather than departs from it. And please help all of us to listen to your voice as you speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus, as he starts communicating in this chapter, he uses a figure of speech. So let's see that figure of speech for ourselves. John chapter 10 from verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus, he draws a contrast here between the shepherd of the sheep and those who are nothing but thieves or robbers, strangers to the sheep. The thief, the robber, he tries to find some alternate way to access the sheep in the pen because he knows that the watchman, there's no way he's going to let him in through the gate because he's not legitimate. So he tries to climb in some other way. But as Jesus points out in verse 5, even if the thief was able to enter in by this alternate route, this backdoor entry, the sheep would never follow him anyway. He'd be a stranger to them because his voice, it's different and strange to their ears. They'd sooner run away from than follow such a person. The shepherd, he stands in contrast to the thief, the robber. He enters by the normal way, through the gate. Good morning to the watchman, and in he goes, because they know each other. There's a relationship there, and so the watchman opens the gate for him. And as he enters, as the shepherd enters this enclosure, this sheep pen, he calls out to his sheep by name. Notice verse 3. And his sheep hear his voice and respond. They know that voice, and so they follow. And having gathered all those that belong to him, the shepherd, he leads them out and goes on ahead of them. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The relationship between this shepherd and his sheep, it's clearly one of knowledge and intimacy, security and provision. But what is Jesus actually talking about? It's a metaphor, an analogy, a figure of speech, but who's who here? What's going on? Thankfully, if we don't really get it, we're not alone. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. That's kind of comforting, isn't it? Those listening to him didn't get it either. Now, where we can come a bit unstuck here is that we might be used to Jesus sharing a metaphor or a figure of speech or a parable like this and then providing some kind of explanation. But in what follows here, it's not so much an explanation, although it is that in parts. What follows, it's more like an expansion. Jesus expands on what he's just said. At home or school or in the workplace, you might have one of those expandable file things, you know, the ones you get them at Office Works or at the news agents. When they're closed shut, they're fairly compact, maybe held together by a clip or something like that. But when you open it, it expands out and you can sort and file all your different documents in their various sections. If we come at what Jesus says here thinking explanation only, we can get a bit confused because Jesus, he starts talking about being the gate and then he starts talking about being the shepherd. But didn't he just say that the shepherd enters in through the gate and now he's the gate? And our brains, they kind of do a bit of mental twister on us. What Jesus does in the rest of the chapter is that he picks up on certain aspects of his metaphor, his figure of speech, and then he expands on them. He picks up on the gate image and expands on it, using it as a way of talking about himself. He picks up on the shepherd image and expands on it, showing how he's the good shepherd. And then he picks up on the sheep image from his figure of speech and expands on that as well. So firstly, Jesus expands on the gate image in verses 7 to 10. Let's pick it up again. Verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus, he describes himself as the gate here, and he contrasts himself with those he describes as thieves and robbers. They come with selfish motives and vicious tactics to try and ravage the flock. The way Jesus refers to them in verse 8, all whoever came before me, points us in the direction of these being leaders who claim to be the promised one, people who pretended to be God's long-awaited rescuer, but in reality they were nothing more than pretenders. They sweep people up in the excitement and fanfare that surrounds them, but only end up, verse 10, stealing and killing and destroying. It can be that way with so many leaders in the world, can't it? people who call on us to follow them. There can be a lot of hype and carry-on, fireworks and streamers, schmick images and names up in lights. And sometimes we can get taken in by all that and swept off our feet. But what's really going on underneath? So often we get taken in, and it's only when it's too late that we realise the truth. In contrast, however, stands Jesus. By choosing the symbol of the gate, he's indicating that with him there's security and provision. The thieves and robbers, well, they'd only brought danger and left the flock in greater need than when they began. Not so with Jesus. With him there's security, verse 9. Whoever enters through me will be saved. You come in via this gate and you're protected. You're in safe hands, out of harm's way. There's security. And there's provision as well. Second half of verse 9. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A luxurious pasture to enjoy and revel in. A plentiful abundance that gets opened up by coming in through this gate. So plentiful that Jesus can even sum it up with his famous promise in verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In terms of the metaphor, the picture here is one of fat, content, flourishing sheep. And the truth to which the metaphor is pointing, well, here in Jesus, is the offer of life at its scarcely imagined best. This is living. And if you haven't entered through this gate, through Jesus, you're missing out on what life's all about. According to Jesus, life in him is life at its best. From verse 11, Jesus then selects a different metaphor, a different image from his figure of speech, the shepherd, and he expands on that. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, Jesus continues, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Again, what we have here is another contrast. Here, the good shepherd is contrasted with the hired hand. And sitting in the background here, of course, is that passage from Ezekiel 34 that we read earlier. The hired hand, he's different to the thieves and robbers we saw earlier. He doesn't necessarily come in with underhanded motives and tactics. But the thing is, and here's the contrast, the thing is that he doesn't feel the same way about the sheep as the shepherd does. He never will. There's not the relationship that exists between the shepherd and his sheep. Verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When the going gets tough, this guy, he gets going. First sign of trouble or danger, he's on the way. When it's neck on the line stuff, it's number one he's looking after. Done my time today, punch my card, where's my pay? And maybe you've had leaders like that before. People you've looked to provide for you and care for you. People you thought really knew you and wanted the best for you, but you've just ended up being burnt and let down because they've turned out to be no different from everyone else. Just another person who's more interested in looking after themselves than you. In stark and wonderful contrast stands Jesus, this time not as the gate, but as the shepherd. Twice here, verse 11 and verse 14, his claim is that I am the good shepherd. And if we want evidence of how good this shepherd is, it's seen most clearly in the fact that he lays down his life for his sheep. Did you notice how many times Jesus repeats that phrase in this short section? Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life. Verse 18, I lay it down of my own accord. Verse 18 again, I have authority to lay it down. Got the message? If we want evidence of Jesus' goodness as a shepherd, if we want proof that he is a good, good leader, you find it demonstrated in the fact that he lays down, that he gives his life. Whereas for those shepherds back in Ezekiel's time and so many in our time, it's all about get, get, get. Jesus, he's all about give, give, give. And he gives to the utmost, giving his very life. Finally, from verse 19 onwards, Jesus once more expands on his figure of speech, this time picking up on the image of sheep. Here we see clearly those who are not his sheep and why that is and what that means for them. And we also see those who are his sheep and why that is and what that means for them. Verse 24, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, and here it comes, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. Here we see those who are not his sheep. Why is that? Well, because despite the miracles Jesus has done, they don't listen to his voice. And because they're not his sheep, they don't believe in him. What does that mean for them? Well, those who are listening can't help but insult him. Verse 20, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? Verse 31, they pick up stones to stone him. They can't handle him. End of verse 33, they want to stone him because you, a mere man, claim to be God. And verse 39, again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. You see, you can't sit on the fence with Jesus. He is too divisive for that. If you're not one of his sheep, you don't listen to him and you don't believe in him. And you end up either explicitly or implicitly responding like this. Well, who are Jesus' sheep then? And why is that, and what does that mean for them? Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is just like we saw in Jesus' figure of speech right back at the beginning of the chapter, isn't it? There the sheep listened to the shepherd's voice and he called them by name and led them out. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know, they recognize the shepherd's voice. So too here, those who are Jesus' sheep are known by him. They listen to his voice and they follow him. What does that mean for them? Well, it means that the stunning promise of verse 28 is theirs. Verse 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You remember the tremendous security that comes with Jesus being the gate. And remember the demonstration of his goodness as the shepherd is seen in the laying down of his life. Well, the two are connected, aren't they? They're very much related. The security that comes with Jesus being the gate is enjoyed by the sheep precisely because Jesus, as the good shepherd, has laid down his life. No wolf, no robber, no thief, no one can take them away from him. No one can snatch them out of his hand, because they are the sheep of this good shepherd. So that's what it means to be one of his sheep. You know, as I look at this chapter of John's Gospel and as I sort of reflect on what Jesus is saying here, the overwhelming emotion for me is one of relief and thankfulness. My search for a leader, the leader that I want and that I need, it's over. He's been found. I actually don't have to engage in that search any longer. I don't need to be worried about being taken in by those who are only thieves or robbers or hired hands. Here before me in Jesus is one greater than I could have ever hoped for, and who brings me more than I could ever dream. For those of you who'd had enough of leaders, you'd already given up on the search perhaps, not interested in falling into line behind anyone any longer. Well, what we've seen here is that as much as we might insist that we follow no one, truth be told, we're all more part sheep than shepherd. We're not the gate here. We're not the shepherd here. We're sheep. Ultimately, we can't help but follow someone or something. It's how we've been wired. It's just a matter of who or what we attach ourselves to. Well, here in Jesus, the leader, I find that elusive security and provision that I've always longed for. I am saved. I can go in and come out and find pasture. I find life. I have it, and I have it to the full. Here in Jesus, I'm known by someone in that intimate way that I've always longed for. This leader, this shepherd, he knows his sheep by name. Here in Jesus, I have one who loves me. And should I ever doubt it, one whose love has been demonstrated to me oh so clearly. His love was so deep that it drove him willingly to lay down his life for me. Here in Jesus, I am eternally safe, knowing that no one and no thing can ever snatch me out of his hand. You see, here in Jesus is the leader that we all need, and the leader we'd be crazy not to want. And we're going to continue celebrating those truths in our next song, and we'll also prepare ourselves to join the Lord's Supper together. During this song, there'll be an opportunity for, if you come regularly, to give to the work of the gospel, both here and throughout the world. And